You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
What an absolute treat, Steve. Normally we're on the end of a phone talking to each other. Today, at the Irish Centre in Leeds, ahead of your book signing, we're face to face. This happens once in a blue moon.
Once in a blue moon, what a brilliant location for it. I did a stand-up gig here once, you know, 2009. It was one of those classics where I thought I was going to get about 700 people. And in fact, if I remember rightly, I think I asked the fella organising to put on extra security. I think we had about 18 come through the door.
I was one of those 18. I remember it well. Some good stories, though.
Hey, listen, we had a great time. I think we did about 5 hours that night by the time we left. It might be the same tonight.
It might be. You might get a few. Celtic game on. You're short of a crowd.
So I'm in an Irish centre in Leeds. I'm on one corner trying to sell some books. And over there, with a free buffet, is the Leeds Celtic Supporters Club watching them play PSG. Who's the main attraction? Anyway, let's carack on.
There's always a story at the end of it, Steve. That's all that matters. Before we get onto this weekend's fights, including Josh Warrington in Leeds, of course, Anthony Joshua versus Carlos Takam. It's not the opponent that he was hoping for. Obviously, Pulev's pulled out. Talk about that first of all. You were with Joshua yesterday. How disappointed was he?
He was disappointed. He was disappointed because he knew that Pulev had that bit of credibility. We've only had one defeat, the defeat against Klitschko, where he went and had a go, and it was a competitive fight. But I pointed out something to him, and he agreed, and I stand by this, Lee. Had Carlos Takam been the original opponent, they still would have sold 78,000. Let's get that absolutely right. Takam brings some different things to the table. And I think Joshua's known for about 5 or 6 days, which is not that long, because he only spars 3 times a week. So if he's known 5 days, he's sparred twice with different opponents. And he'll only spar 2 more times now before he stops sparring. So by my calculation, the most sparring he could have done if he does 10 rounds a day is 40 rounds with an adjusted different set of sparring partners. Because Takam is 5 or so inches shorter than Pulev and about 7 inches, 6 inches shorter than Joshua. But what's more, he fights small. So, you know, he's not a 6'1" guy who stands 6'1". He's a 6'1" guy who likes to fight about 5'11", 5'10". And every single person that Takam fights, as Joshua said, is taller than him. Joshua hasn't fought a guy this small for an awful long time, way back in his amateur days. So Joshua's got to do a little bit of adjusting. And I think that's what's going to make it. I think it'll be a much more pleasing fight. I think it'll be much better on the eye than the Pulev fight. And I think it'll be quite raucous the first few rounds. And Takam will give it a go. Because even though Eddie Hearn said he's been in training camp for 10 weeks, I don't doubt Eddie. There's being in training camp and there's being in training camp. And right now, in my opinion, he'll be in a mad 2 weeks of training camp. And that's not enough to go 6 or 7 hard rounds with Joshua. But it's enough to go 3 or 4 lively rounds with Joshua.
It was lively against Povetkin, wasn't it? When you look back at Takam's probably biggest night, wasn't it? He went 10 rounds.
He had a right go.
I mean, you know, his 3 defeats, every single one of them, he's had a go. There isn't a single cloud hanging over this guy's head. And people are trying to find fault with him. He's too small, he's too old, he's too this, he's too that. No, he's too this, he's too that. No, he'll come and give it everything. Every single thing. Will he win? No. Will he make it entertaining for 4 or 5 rounds? Absolutely will. And that's all you can ask.
Yeah, the betting, you've got Joshua priced up at 1 to 50, not surprisingly. Just for the stoppage, he's 1 to 20 to stop him. Ouch. But you're looking at, you know, if you're going for individual rounds, Buncey,
you can get
round 5 at 11 to 2, round 6 at 8 to 1. You can get rounds between rounds 4 and 6. You're getting 3 rounds there, Buncey. 4, 5 or 6 at 13 to 8. That might not be a bad bet.
And Josh won't be silly in the first few rounds. He'll break him down, soften him, wait for him to tire before he opens up.
Yeah. It'll be a cracker. It'll be a great atmosphere. As you said, it'll be a decent night.
People are there for Joshua. Okay? As I say, and I mean this absolutely categorically. I've had a few arguments with people and disagreements with people over it. If Takam had been the original opponent, it would have sold out the same way. That's a fact. We're in the Joshua business, baby. It's that simple.
Let's have a look at some of the fights this weekend then, shall we? Tyrone Nurse, another local lad from Huddersfield, just down the road from where we are, against Jack Catterall, 11-8 Nurse. Catterall's 4-7. The draw is 20-1. Tyrone Nurse, when you look at his record, Buncey, which stands, incidentally, at 35 wins and 2 defeats, he doesn't fight that much, does he? He hasn't lost since 2014. He's had a couple of draws in the meantime. He's fighting a chap here, Jack Catterall, who's 18-0, 10 stoppages on his record from Chorley over in Lancashire. So there'll be a bit of a Yorkshire versus Lancashire there. This is for the British Super Lightweight title. Last seen out in April, beating Martin Gethin. Was right. It was Jack Catterall. Yeah, it was a good finish. Do you think those odds are about right? Do you think it's about right that, you know, Tyrone Nurse 11-8, Jack Catterall the favourite?
Yeah, I could see why Catterall's been made a favourite. Tyrone Nurse has been underestimated most of his career. You're not going to see a guy with that kind of record, 35-2-2. Guys like that just don't tend not to win British titles. It's just the way the bottom business works. It's guys like Catterall, 18-0, other guys who are 16-0. What I particularly like about a Nurse is that he's had 4 12 rounders in his last 6 fights. He likes a bit of distance, and they're hard fights, a couple of loads with split decisions, that type of stuff. You know, he doesn't have easy fights. He understands, it's a cliche, but he understands hard fights. He has hard fights. Catterall hasn't had hard fights. Catterall got bored in a couple of fights and he drifted a little bit, and they were mildly competitive, but only mildly competitive. He's done far more competitive rounds, had far more real fights. Obviously, he's had far more fights. Catterall's had maybe too many easy jobs, too many walkover jobs. But saying that, I think it's a distance fight. I went, I think, last week for a draw. Burns and Collar went for a draw. Yeah. And that wasn't a bad, I don't think it was a bad shout. It was great, it was like 30s. It was ridiculous money. I thought that was a good shout. Because if you look at the fight, you speak to 6 people, and you come up with 3 different results, and 2 of them were a draw. So that wasn't a bad shout. I don't mind this as a draw. Or I'm just edging towards Catterall nicking it if it isn't a draw. But it could be Nurse away. This is one, and this doesn't happen often. We've been doing this a long time now, 10 years, and I never sit on the fence. What's the point? But of all the fights we've done, I can't remember me ever saying to you, I'm really not sure here. I'm really not sure here. So if it was a 1-round win for either of them or a draw, I would not be surprised. And I don't think I've ever done that. Even when even in fights that everyone acknowledges as close, I've made a case one way or the other. I'm generally wrong or I'm generally right. It makes no difference. But this one here, I'm not going to sit on the fence. I'm almost changing to the spin. I'm just fancying Catterall a little bit. He's got a little bit of youth on his side. Not a lot, just a little bit. I'm just fancying him tight points. Or that draw.
I think if you're not sure, it's always worth having a few quid on the draw. You're always going to get 20s up to... I mean, it's 33-1 for the next fight we're going to look at, which is the top of the bill for the crowd. Josh Warrington at the Leeds Arena, the First Direct Arena, as they call it. Josh Warrington versus Dennis Kaelan, the Dane. Josh's record is 25-0. Dennis Kaelan, 18 wins, 2 draws on his record. The betting shows Josh Warrington is a big favourite, 1-7. 9-2 for the Dane, 33-1 the draw for this one, just to prove that point that you get some big old big old prices. We know a lot about Josh Warrington. We'll come on to him in a second. 28-year-old the Dane. I guess you'd say maybe he hasn't got any kind of absolute standouts on his record. Beat Ryan Walsh for the vacant European featherweight title.
Decent win.
Isaac, he had a draw against Isaac Lowe.
And he was winning all three of the completed rounds, yeah. That's not a bad win.
Do you get the feeling with Josh Warrington, it's just... It strikes me he's just waiting for that mega fight. Obviously, he had Kiko Martinez, the fight against Kiko Martinez. He had other big fights. But he's waiting for that one fight, isn't he? He's waiting for that fight against, we all know who, and he wants it at Elland Road.
Yeah, I've been talking about how a couple of his fights, Kiko Martinez was a dangerous fight. This is a dangerous fight. Not because Martinez is particularly dangerous, and not because Celan is particularly dangerous, but why it's a dangerous fight is that it's another fight that ruins your career if you lose it. Yeah. Okay, and you're meant to win it, but maybe there's too much emphasis on him meaning to win it. I don't think this is a simple fight. I didn't think Martinez was a simple fight. I think Josh wins it, and you've got to look at the simple way he wins it. 4 of his last 5 have gone the full 12, and that absolutely plays in his hands. So he wins, I think, on points. But if he were to get things wrong, if he were to have something wrong with him, if he were to have a sore throat, for instance, if he even slightly out with his calculations here, he can come up short. And boy, oh boy, that scuppers some big nights. Because it doesn't matter once you get to a fight with Frampton or a fight with Lee Sale, but you can lose those fights, you know? Or you have a fight with Scott Quigg. You can lose that fight. That's the way it works. Or you fight Kid Galahad, the kid from Sheffield. You can lose that fight. You can't lose this fight and move on. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. And that's why this is such a dangerous fight. And you know what, Lee? Let's be brutally honest. In this modern business we're in, fighters like Warrington all around the world can have a really easy rubbish fight at this stage in their careers and then bounce to a fight with a guy like Frampton. You have to commend Warrington, and I'll tell you why he's doing it. It's simple. Not just because I'm sitting in the Irish Centre here in Leeds. I'm doing it because that horde of fans, that devoted Yorkshire flock and that devoted group of Leeds fans, a lot of Leeds fans, they're not gonna pay to watch him fight bums. They're too knowledgeable. They're not just going to be whitewashed into believing that some guy's a good opponent. They are sensible. They know what they're doing, so they demand it. And that's why I commend him for taking it. He wins. He wins on points. He delights the flock.
Yeah, and the flock will be delighted. I guess, are you saying he's on the cusp maybe of, because those fans are still devoted, and it's anyone who's been there, whether you're a Leeds fan or not, it's an incredible atmosphere. You were sucked in by it, and it feels like he's fighting the greatest fighter in the world on the biggest night of his life.
Yeah, and when he fights Frampton in Fury Ellen Road next May or June, that's great. And see, the thing is, if he loses in that fight, they'll come back because it's Carl Frampton. You know, part of their insistence on good opponents is that they're knowledgeable. So they'll know that losing to Frampton's not a problem, losing to Quigg's not a problem, losing to Galahad's not a problem, losing to Selby's not a problem. Don't want to lose to any of them, don't get me wrong. But the fact is, that's not a problem. He can't lose to this guy, though. Yeah. And I don't think he would. I think he'll win on points. I mean, we've got two 12-round fights on our hands.
The SEC Arena in Belfast will be similarly buoyant on Saturday night before the fight, and Ryan Burnett will be hoping after the fight as well. A big old fight. There's two titles on the line. The World Bantamweight title, IBF, Super World Bantamweight title, WA version. It's Ryan Burnett, 17-0, versus Zanat Zakianov, the 27 wins, one defeat on his record. Obviously managed by Ricky Hatton. Ricky, not only winning titles himself as a boxer, but obviously winning him as a trainer as well. I know he was absolutely overjoyed. A lot of industry, obviously he's a very good fighter, you have to be to win a world title, but the industry that he shows is fantastic, the Kazakh. Yeah. I guess you'd probably say, Buncey, that on talent levels alone, Ryan Burnett would be the one who you'd pick. 25-year-old from Belfast, that's why obviously the crowd would be going mad. Some decent names on his record as well. Lee Haskins was the last one, wasn't it? A unanimous decision over 12 rounds.
Counting decision as well, every round. Let's get it right.
Yeah. The betting has Burnett as a 1-3 favourite here. Mm. The Kazakh is a 23-10 outsider at the draw. 22-1. Another cracking night. It'll be interesting which crowd will be louder, the Belfast crowd or the Leeds crowd on the night.
Neck and neck. I mean, and let's put it this way. It's not often that either of those two crowds aren't the loudest crowd in boxing on the nights whenever they take place. That will be a neck-and-neck job. I mean, actually, the acoustics might be better in Leeds, so that might work out to be louder. Ryan Burnett is still a fight away, or maybe two fights away, from having that feeling of utter devotion that the Belfast fans give a fighter. And you have to work hard for it, trust me. There's been a lot of great Northern Irish fighters that have been loved but not adored. Burnett's just about to get there. Frampton's been there, and obviously McGuigan all those years ago was there. It's a hard fight, this. I was with Ricky Hatton last week or 10 days ago, and he fancies that Burnett and Adam Booth, his trainer, and Matt Truman Co. have got this wrong. He fancies that Zanat will just know too much. He's too strong, he's too game, he's been on the floor. He's a man that wins tight decisions, hard decisions. He knows how to grind a win. He was dropped a couple of times in his last fight, his winning fight, you know, over in the first round, and still drags out a good win. You know, he's tight, he's hard, he's tight, he's tough. I just think that Burnett with Adam Booth's a good trainer, good tactical trainer. I think they might just have a little bit much mobility, a bit too much mobility. I think there could be some hairy moments for Ryan Burnett. But I just fancy that down the stretch, he will outwork Zanat slightly. And I tell you what, you know, that's that old 12th man, the old Delia Smith thing. Yeah. There will be the need for that crowd, because I'd be stunned if this is easy for Ryan Burnett. I just fancy him at the end, and I can see Ricky Hatton not being very happy with it. I think it's going to be tight.
Points is 10-11. Just looking at the treble there, Buncey. Just under 4-1, the treble there. That's going for Catterall just to win. Yeah. That's going for Warrington on points. They're both 4-7 shots, so a bit short. And then Burnett on points is 10-11. So three odds on shots, but just a smidgen under 4-1 for that treble.
That's not a bad little gig, is it?
I don't mind that at all. And more surprising than that is that I've managed to come in under 15 minutes. When I come face to face, we nail the 15 minutes. When it's on the phone, we end up talking for 25.
Because what it is, I wander around, but I can't wander around here. People are starting to walk in. I think I'm missing sales on my book.
Yeah, they are starting to filter in. Didn't they're Celtic fans or Buncey boxing fans? What would you go for?
I think they're neither. I think they're just, this is an Irish centre. It's also a bit of a community centre. I should get my pile of books out of the car in a minute.
I'll come and give you a hand. Steve, it's a pleasure seeing you as always. I hope tonight goes well and good luck with the book in the future. I know you've got a few book signings going on. Christmas presents, this is what you need to buy, your granddad or your dad for a present for Christmas. You
know, listen, I would say this, I'm biased, but it's got to be the greatest present you can buy for someone in your family that likes boxing, male or female, who's under the age of, well, basically, who's above the age of 18. It's made for them.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.